Hey, you're listening to The Morning Show with Aaron. That's Florence and the Machine with Heartlines. And in the studio, I've got John Lawson. Morning, John.
Good morning. Cold, dull morning this morning.
Yes, it is. Are we going to liven it up with our talk about the community board agenda, do you think?
That's being optimistic. Why not?
we'll do our best. So the community board meeting, for those who don't know, is happening tomorrow, Wednesday at 1:30 in the Town Hall Supper Room. And that's the open forum from 1:30, formal meeting from 2. John, you're going to be asking questions as usual?
Probably.
Probably. There we go. The forecast.
Well, there's an awful lot which isn't in the agenda, so hoping that it will come out at the meeting. Or it's probably worth asking questions before the meeting to make sure it does.
I do have to ask you, you've written something about secret meetings. So John writes up the agenda for public consumption, and it's on the Regnum 23 website at the moment, and says something about secret meetings. John, what are you saying? Secret meetings? What are these secret meetings?
Well, they seem to be having several, so in particular about buses and about civil defence.
But if they're secret, how do you know about them?
Because they mention them, so, but they only mention them after the event, not before.
Oh.
So you don't have a chance of going to them, and you don't know what they discussed or what the outcomes are.
So you're saying the bus meeting where the community board met with regional council staff?
Yes.
Well, no, they said they were going to have a meeting.
Well, they said they were going to have a meeting, but they didn't say what they were going to say at the meeting, and they didn't say when it was or where it was, so it was in no way a public meeting.
No, I don't think it was a public, it wasn't meant to be a public meeting. They were just going to sit down with the staff and on behalf of the community tell them that we had better ideas for how the bus should run through Raglan than the council staff did.
So that's what I call a secret meeting.
Okay, all right, there you go, folks. That's what John calls secret. It's not actually that much of a conspiracy, really. But anyway, I'll be interviewing with someone, either Dennis or Lisa, on Friday, so we'll find out about this quote-unquote secret meeting.
Because Dennis didn't manage to make it along last Friday.
No, he had. Things happened. Anyway, so the first thing on the community board agenda is Raglan Community Energy, or Community Energy Whangaroa, sorry. They're going to be talking, are they, John?
Yeah, they've got a slot and they've got a sort of introductory paper. So this is basically a revamp of what was done 5 or so years ago, looking at Raglan Local Energy, now renamed Community Energy Whangaroa. So basically it's trying to get us to generate local energy, distribute it locally, help out people who've got poverty, energy problems, all that sort of stuff. So hopefully it's going to work better this time than it did last time. It did achieve some things last time, but could still achieve a lot more. I think most people aren't involved in it so far, but hopefully in the future they will be.
I presume they've been working behind the scenes. Do you want a drink of water?
No, I think I'm okay.
All right, okay. So anyway, we'll find out more, and I will get someone in, like Rick Thorpe or Charlie.
Yeah, probably Rick. Oh, yes.
Yeah, one of those guys, and to have a chat about it.
Or Neil.
Yeah, or Neil, another one involved. Yeah. What else do you want to talk about, John? We can't say much about that. It's more like come along and see, or stay tuned to us, and we'll tell you what we heard.
So that one's coming out in public, but the civil defence, as I say, has so far been in secret meetings that we don't actually know what they've been covering.
Stop saying
secret. I think we got more information from Lisa a couple of weeks ago than we have in the agendas for the community board.
So
Lisa was talking about looking at problems with what happens if the single lane bridge gets knocked out, for example.
Yeah, so they're given a template to do the planning for local resilience or civil defence, and they've been working through that with the staff. And I don't think they thought the template was that fantastic, but I think they now, and I think they'll probably say this at the meeting, at the point where they want to start bringing in, now that they've got the structure in place, bringing in the rest of the public or people who want to be involved. And there are some people who are dead keen to help out with civil defence matters.
Because I'm just concerned about the wording that's on the community board agenda, which talks about arrange a meeting with the various parties. They don't say who the various parties are, and to discuss and begin implementation. which suggests that they're going to implement it before they've discussed it with the whole community.
So they have been saying that for people who want to get involved to get in touch. That's what Dennis has been saying in my interviews.
Okay.
So it's not quite. It's not. I think you're looking for a conspiracy that's not really there. To be honest, they are just trying to get the work done. And bearing in mind that for the last 10 years, the council's been trying to get a civil defence plan in place for our community, and somehow it just has never happened.
Yeah, Bob McLeod worked very hard on it.
Yeah, I think of whatever they're doing to get it done, I don't care, it's a good thing if they actually get something done.
But it'd be good to get it so that everybody knows what it is and everybody agrees that it's a good idea and everyone has a chance to say, hey, you haven't thought of this, or I've got this resource that you might be able to use if there was a civil emergency.
I presume something like that's coming next, but hopefully we'll find out. The bus survey, John, what did you want to say about the bus survey?
Again, this is one of these secret meetings. So, they've had information sent to the Waikato Regional Council representatives, but we don't know what information was sent to them, and the consensus position has been agreed by the community board. Which seems a bit odd given that you were talking to Lisa, say, a week or two ago, and she didn't know what the position had been agreed, even though it was a couple of days after that meeting.
Well, if she hasn't talked to the two guys who went to that meeting, then
well, it does say
a
consensus position, which you might expect that everybody on the community board at least would know, even if the rest of us don't.
I wish you wouldn't know the outcome of the meeting, though. I mean, generally, what we know, like, so here's the useful information, is that the community has a clear plan and the community board that we want a bus that does something like running from the wharf through town and heading out to the bays. And that might be an hourly bus. And we know that the staff member from Regional Council turned up to the community and announced his plan and said he thought our one was dumb. Words to that effect, you know, bureaucratic words to that effect. And I think someone on the community board, did they point out, or was it someone in the studio that it's a trial, so let's trial the new idea and see for sure rather than guessing, because there was a lot of talk about this is what happens in Tokoroa and this is what happens over here, and so this won't work or this will work. And
we had this discussion a while ago saying that really comparing us with any of those other towns doesn't really work, because we've got much more environmental awareness and we've also got many more people using the few buses that we have got.
Yeah. Yeah. The real question for me is, will it get together in time to start before summer? Because you want to kick off at the start of summer when tourists are starting to arrive. You wouldn't want to start today, for instance. It's raining right now and no one wants to go anywhere because it's cold. So obviously it's not going to start today. I'm just saying start of summer is the optimum time. So a question for me is, is that going to happen?
Yeah. Well, they were talking about this 3 years ago of getting it going by summer. Depends which summer you're talking about.
Yeah, well, that didn't happen because funding from other, like, government sources fell through or something like that. And so then
the council hadn't done it the right way around, according to the government, so they hadn't got it into the regional public transport plan,
right,
which, according to the government, was their criteria for giving it funding. So that was their excuse for not funding it.
Righty-ho. And then the council actually ponied up a little bit of extra cash, basically, didn't they, for the trial?
Well, they put $100,000 a year into the long-term plan.
Yeah.
And we're now in the third year of that, and we've still not spent that $100,000, except maybe by doing a survey.
So, another reason, well, hopefully we didn't spend all of it doing a survey, another reason to get it kicked off this summer is so that it's in process, and when they look at their long-term plan next year, then the next, you know, because they do a three-yearly review, when they do that review, they'll say, oh, this is already running, so let's keep going. But, if it's not ready by then, maybe the other councils will go, no, we don't need this. I should say too, there's a couple of other areas in the district where they're trialling a bus run as well.
Yeah, some areas up north in the district where they're Pōkeno, and I've forgotten what the other one is.
Yeah, so there should be a group of councillors who want to maintain it. So anyway, we'll find out more. Roading. John, read out the roading thing.
Well, basically it says we're not doing anything because we're short-staffed and currently unavailable to support a workshop.
Unable to support a workshop, yeah. And this is a problem. And I did something because I was like looking at, we know about our council, we know it's short-staffed, that a while ago there were how many positions? 30-something positions open at one given time. And they've got 24% staff turnover per year at the moment, which is very high. But I talked to people at another council, another similar council, and while their situation is not as bad as ours, it's not that far away to make ours seem like it's sticking out, like it's particularly bad compared to others. So one of the problems is, like, they apparently pay rates have gone up in the private sector, and our councils just can't compete with that now, especially because we don't want to put our rates up. Well, the rates are going up, but all that money's going into other things. It's not going into paying the staff in a way that they where they can compete with the private sector. So they find it particularly hard to get staff at the moment.
Yep. I suppose the answer to that is that they ought to be putting the rates up to keep in line with what they... Otherwise, we've got a council which can't do anything.
Yeah,
well, some people might think it's a good idea, and maybe they think councils waste money anyway, so if they can't waste money doing things and they haven't got any staff to do it.
But yeah, the trouble is they actually do useful things. Everyone seems to get on their hobby horse and complain and bitch about the council, but there's an awful lot of things they do that are useful and we need.
Well, people are grumbling about potholes, and one of the things that the council does is repair potholes. If they haven't got staff to do it, then they don't get done.
Yeah, yeah, although that's probably... See, but that's done by a relationship with the private sector, so that actually might keep getting sorted in the usual way that it gets sorted.
Well, I'm not sure what the link is between the council and the Roading Alliance, whether the Roading Alliance keeps an eye on those potholes or whether the council says, hey, there's a pothole, please go and fill it.
Well, we can ourselves put in a message in the, what's it called?
The request it section on the council's website, yes.
Yeah, I heard some people complaining on Facebook, well, the council staff should be doing it, but why not do it, you know?
But I've put in requests a few weeks ago and they've still not been done, so maybe
but that's
that reflects the shortage of staff.
Or maybe it's because your name was on it, John. Like, it's that John Lawson guy. One thing I did want to say, though, about if they're having trouble attracting staff, one thing you can do is create a work environment where everyone is really excited to work there. And I know that sounds unlike a council, but, you know, why not try?
Yeah, well, they used to claim that they were the best council to work for. I don't think they've claimed that in recent years, but and I'm not sure that it was true in the first place. But.
Yeah, and some people are tying the reappointment of the CEO who's been there for well over a decade and a half.
2002, I think it was.
Oh, really? So 20 years. So it's citing that new blood might be required, but he's going to be around for another couple of years. And I'm not inside the council enough to know whether we can point the finger at him, but I feel like people are and say it's time for some new blood. So that's the story there.
But that's not happening because the council's just voted to renew his contract.
So. But only for 2 years, I think. Normally it's like longer, isn't it?
Okay.
So yeah.
I don't know when he's due to retire.
It must be soon.
Nobody I've spoken to seems to know.
It sounds like he gets to do what he likes. I don't know. This is a lot of conjecture about an individual who's also a private person who doesn't deserve to be slagged off too much. But I would like to see them. If they haven't got the money to compete with the private sector in terms of paying staff, they do. The only thing they've got left to do is make a work environment which is highly enjoyable.
Yeah, well it's frustrating, I think, that people come in when they're new and there's no sort of easy way, as far as I can make out, to find out what's been happening before you got there. So you have to start finding your way through as best you can, and quite often people find it frustrating, and some of them just give up fairly quickly, I think, and move on.
So, I did meet a staff member whose first name was Josh, can't remember his last name, but he actually was very proactive and went and found things. This is when I was involved with the soccer club, and we'd been told, oh, this thing doesn't exist, and then he turned up and we asked and he went and found it. And we were like, oh, that's interesting. He said, well, you just have to do some work. Anyway, he's since moved on, because clearly he's a competent, energetic guy.
But there doesn't seem to be any way that, unless you're that competent, you can find things. It's not made obvious, as far as I can make out.
It appears to be the case. And it's not just our district council, because that situation where we talked about the guy coming from regional council with his idea of what our bus should be doing, And Lisa asked him, have you seen, we've sent Regional Council this document and the results of the survey, have you seen those? And he said he hadn't. And it just it reiterated that point. And in fact, I stood up and talked about information to do with the beach eroding at Papahua on the inlet here since the bridge was replaced. And there's been repeated attempts by people in this community to talk to council about that and get things to happen. And they start making progress, and then a staff member leaves, and they're back to square one. And here we are. And in actual fact, Shawmead was suggesting, even before the new bridge was built, that there was going to be erosion.
Shawmead being somebody who's an expert in such things.
Sorry, yes, I should say that. Founder of eCoast. So there's been people in the community saying, since before the bridge was put up, that there would be erosion created by the removal of what was effectively a groin from the old bridge, where the structure stuck out into this down into the water at high tide, and just continually, and
so there's both councils available on that side of the road.
And both councils, regional and district council, it was happening that they'd be talking to someone and the staff member would leave, and then it's like it's lost. So yeah, this is actually a serious problem, and I don't know in an information dense world quite how you do that, because most people are not like you, John, and capable of just powering through pages and pages of information.
Well, I don't know whether they've got the pages and pages of information readily available, even as lots of things disappear off the council website after a couple of years.
Maybe so. You should give every new staff member a briefing about Raglan. That'd be the way to do it.
Yeah. Of course, one of the problems is the district is so huge, so it's not just Raglan. We're just one tiny corner of a big district.
Yeah, it is. It's much easier to run Hamilton City, I think, than it is to run our district, that's for sure. Moving on, though, we're near a walkway. So, John, this said additional budget has been secured and ground investigation will be completed in the coming weeks. There was talk about, folks, this is the walkway from the jetty round to the walk bridge across to Papahua and continuing round to the Coast Guard
station.
The fire station. I couldn't tell from that, because there was talk about completely rebuilding nice big wide path on the handrail, and I couldn't tell from this whether they were going to go, that got money for that, or whether they just got enough money to patch up the wall which is falling apart. Did you deduce from that? Did you work that out?
Well, no, all we've got is this couple of words, additional budget. So we don't know what the additional budget is and what it will cover. And they are talking about the section between the footbridge and the fire station as being in the worst condition. They may be hinting that they're going to do that bit and not the other bit. And I don't know where this additional budget's come from. And I just have a suspicion we've been talking about the 100,000 a year for buses, and whether the 100,000 a year for buses has suddenly turned up as additional budget for rebuilding a walkway.
Well, they're probably not, but your point that there are many pots of money in the council and they shuffle things around occasionally. So, yeah, I've just found the bit in the agenda.
It does look as though something is going to happen, and there was a risk at one stage that they weren't going to do anything about it because they didn't have any money and that they were waiting for next year's long-term plan. But it looks as though they're pushing ahead even before the long-term plan gets finished.
I think they've got a safety issue. If I'm looking right now at a photo in the agenda, and the footpath has already been, parts of it are, the underside of the footpath is exposed as dirt has fallen away from under it.
Yeah, well, you can see it as you walk along it. I always tend to walk on the inland side along that bit.
Yeah, so I think that little bit, they just need to do something about right away at the very least, regardless of what else happens.
Well, it's good that they've seemed to have got around to agreeing with us on that. again, maybe it's a problem of being a small part of a big district that details like that tend to get overlooked.
Well, they've always intended to do something. I think as soon as it came up, the question was whether they make a big wide walkway to match the amount of people that are coming from the new city to surf. Is it town to surf? What's it called?
Well,
that new big walkway, the footpath that comes from Wainui Reserve all the way through Papahua and ends up at the footbridge, delivers a lot of people and a lot of bikes, and then suddenly you've got the skinny little walkway and you fall off into the sea.
And it's interesting looking at the connectivity consultation that's going on that they've still got on that agenda or on that those maps that go with it, the walkway going from Wienera Street direct across to the footbridge. So in a straight line from the footbridge onto Wienera Street.
So it is on there, but we know that that connectivity strategy consists of a whole lot of might happen stuff.
Yeah. Get on talking about that in a while. Should we carry on going through the agenda as it is? But,
okay, what have we got next?
Not that we're going through the agenda in the order that it's on the agenda, but the order that I thought were more important things first and less important things later.
Rightio. So the playground at Greenslade Road Reserve?
Yeah, well, they're saying that, again, they're awaiting guidance back from the community and business owners before proceeding further. Or actually, I said business owners. It should be business owner, which I think means the developer there.
Okay.
So quite what guidance they're waiting for and who they've asked is not clear.
Concept plans for the two options have been prepared. Yeah. So we shall see.
Yes. which is basically the area where they've put that new walkway through between Lorenzen Bay Road and Greenslade Road.
Have you walked that? Like, there was always something there. You could just walk through the grass
across
a little bridge.
There was a closed gate until a few years ago.
Okay. Yes, I mean, it's not a place I go very often, so... But they've been planting and they've built a better bridge, have they?
Yes.
Yeah, and is there a paved path?
It's a big concrete strip.
Rightio. Okay, there we go. See, I haven't been there, so I don't actually know, but I just know that work's been done. And so what are they looking to do next? Playground?
Yes, so on the area further away from Raglan, from that new strip of concrete, they're looking at some sort of play area.
Okay. All right, so that's in the works. Long-term planning / blueprints. What did you get there, John?
Well, again, this is another of these secret meetings, as far as I can make out. Blueprint as per workshop discussion. So we don't know what workshop, when, who was at it, what they decided.
We might do, though, might we?
You know more than I do. What do we know?
No, I'm relying on my memory, which is legendary, but not in a good way. I'm not sure.
No,
it has been talked about, but I just don't remember. So yeah, I'm not much use.
So it just seems to me that this is another example where the community board could set out what was being planned and they haven't done.
You know that you're in the absolute minority on that, John.
What most people don't want to know.
No, or the people who do that work. It's additional work to do the things you want to do, and they have anyone can ring them up and ask them. Like, they're not trying to make it a secret; they're just trying to get the work done, and they get what do they get paid a year?
It's about $7,000 a year or something.
Yeah, so
it's not a full-time job. Yeah,
yeah,
but generally, you've got these things written down. It's just a matter of getting them onto the community board agenda rather than just keeping them as an email or whatever.
The other thing too, though, is the community, the agenda for the board meetings, is all prepared how much ahead of time?
A couple of weeks ahead, usually, isn't it?
Yeah, so other stuff will have happened by now. Okay, so we can't really say much about that. The wharf, that's... What have we got, John?
Well, they've pretty much finished the work on the east side of the wharf, so now they're looking to the west side. And apparently they've still not got a resource consent for that, because they say once consent is granted, then the contractor will establish on site.
Okay, well, that implies that the contractor is ready to go, which is not always the case with contractors, but that's the story there. The Manu Bay breakwater.
Well, they're also talking about building a boulder wall on the beach there, close to the seagrass.
Back to the wharf.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you've got to think about the seagrass. If it's close to the seagrass, I don't know, is that a big deal?
Because one of the achievements of Harbour Care has been to actually extend the area of seagrass that's around the shores of the harbour, which indicates it's a rather healthier system than it used to be. and this is getting very close to encroaching on it.
Yeah, but it isn't, according to the red line that I'm looking at. Can we talk about the... Is it worth talking about the Manu Bay break wall?
Hardly.
There's
no advance on the Manu Bay break wall because it says collaborative solutions will organise a stakeholder meeting that Grant and Shaw will attend to present the research and findings. But we don't know what the findings were.
That's how you find out. You go to the meeting. But we do know that this is an ongoing saga. Every time anyone tries to do anything, it seems to take an extra long time or doesn't happen at all. Dennis Amor has been publicly critical of the delays that have happened while he's been community board chair. But this is a problem that started back when Clint Baddeley was our councillor.
Yes.
And he stopped being our councillor and passed away, and the problem is still with us. So generally, folks, the new break wall didn't perform in a way that people liked. The boulders washing over it in particular, and lying just below the water's surface at the boat ramp, were particularly unpopular with the boaties. Understandably, you drive your boat into it, break your boat. So there definitely needs to be something happen. And they did dig out a whole lot of boulders on the seaward side of that wall to help make things better. I think the criticism was eventually the boulders would fill back in and then start washing over again. But in the meantime, I presume there's been less of a problem.
Well, we don't know what the findings are. The findings may say they may say it's not.
Because they've been observing, haven't they?
Well, probably.
Yeah, I think that's some of the researchers' observation, just checking weekly maybe to see what's happening.
Another example of the community board agenda not being as informative as I would like it to be.
As you would like it to be. Okay. That's that story, and there is going to be a meeting. The water supply reticulation upgrade, well, we all know that's ongoing. They have put all the pipes in the ground, and now they're doing other little finicky jobs, making sure it's tested properly and connected properly and that sort of stuff. Did I describe that well, John?
Yep. I don't think it was a technical description, but it's pretty accurate. Yes.
Okay, all right. And road names. I see we've got some new road names.
Well, they also say that there may be temporary interruptions to a supply and that they'll try and notify that through a letter drop.
So, really?
If you are...
There have been... I disagree with that because I live down Monaco Road and I see on Facebook people are like, why is my water off? And that's why.
But you haven't had a letter drop telling you that it's going to go off.
Well, I mean, what do they do? I mean, they have to do so many connections. No, because it's just like it's a quick turn the water pressure off, hook that thing up, put the water pressure back on. Mm-hmm. It's quite a short thing. So you're going to do a letter drop for every time you do that.
Well, that's what they seem to be saying, but maybe it's something that can be clarified at the community board meeting tomorrow.
Yeah, if people are concerned, that is the place to go and talk about it. We have had our water off one or two times, but it's for such a short time. Probably more, but it's during the day and there's no one at home. All right, can we talk about road names?
Well, there's not a lot to say about road names, except that they've included a fairly extensive report on it in the agenda. It always puzzles me that some parts of the agenda, which to my mind aren't all that important, get huge amounts of coverage. And other things like buses and civil defence and breakwaters and such like don't.
Mm. So this is a road name for, I think, is this for the Papakainga on Wainui Road?
There's two different ones. One's for the new Papakainga that they're building on Wainui Road and the other one's for Rangitahi.
So the one for the Papakainga, they're suggesting the name be Te Ara or Rihitoto or Rihitoto Road, but Te Ara obviously is... meaning road or way, something like that. So that's for there, and
that's the first time that I've seen any detailed plan of that area. So it's quite interesting if people want to see what's planned to have a look at the community board agenda.
Yeah, there's about
which is on the council's website.
It's about 20 houses or 20 lots, I would say. 20 houses.
I think they said 23 originally was the plan.
Okay, so, yeah, I was sort of guessing by just looking. And then what are the names, or am I the one looking for this information, John? You haven't got it in front of you.
So the name for the Rangitahi is to have Toka 2 Street.
Yep.
So those are the two names they're proposing. And as I say, I've forgotten how many pages there are, but I think there's probably about 6 or 8 pages of information on this if you're really interested, and have a look at the Community Board agenda, which, as I say, seems to me to be a relatively minor issue in the sort of scheme of things, and yet it has all this space and other things which seem a lot more important. Have, if you're lucky, a couple of words about it.
So there were two names. There was Tuka 2 and Rerekahu Street, which is that's the native hawk, that second one. And
yeah,
the first
they're proposing
one.
Change one from a street to a lane, or the other way around, I've forgotten.
Okay. Anyway, I've seen these before. People come and talk to the community board, and the community board goes, okay. I don't know if they could even stop it, could they?
The community board is they're consulted. I mean, the community board doesn't run the council. The council can always ignore the community board advice, which they often do, which is another reason why if you only get paid a few thousand a year and your advice often gets ignored, then you begin to wonder, is it worth all this work and effort? But, so on things like this, they'll usually take the advice of the community board. And the community board did have a list of preferred names that they wanted for streets, and I don't know what's happened to that, whether that's another thing that disappeared into the records and the latest staff member doesn't know anything about it.
Well, what's been happening with Rangatahi is that they've been consulting with the relevant hapu for that area.
Uh-huh. And yeah, they've done a good job on that.
Yeah, so I don't think the council or community board is going to object when they come up with, you know, that level of input. Uh-huh. And I imagine the papakainga, they are the local hapu, so they know what they want as well. So, yeah, the community board, I'm sure, will just tick that off. What else, John?
And there's supposed to be a verbal report on Raglan Naturally. We keep getting verbal reports on Raglan Naturally, but it's a long time since we've had any written report. Mm. And again, maybe it reflects the that relatively low time that community board members are paid for and the amount of work that they've got.
Yep.
And maybe that Raglan Naturally is not doing all that much at the moment except organising the Matariki celebrations, which is probably quite a work in itself.
There's actually I'm going to a session that they're doing at the old school, not the old school, is it the church hall on Stewart Street? I'm not sure, tomorrow, with a bunch of community groups. So I'm not quite, that something is happening.
Okay.
Yep. Wait, I actually don't know too much about the details even though I'm going. I'll find out when I get there, I suspect. Although there's probably an email that tells me and I haven't read all of it, to be fair. John, are we talking about freedom camping?
Well, the council's talking about freedom camping because there's 3 consultations which are open at the moment. So if people do want to say things about freedom camping or what they're calling connectivity, which means walkways and cycleways and bridle paths, or about community facilities, which means places like we're sat in at the moment, the town hall, have a look at the council's Say It section on their website, and before the 14th of August, have your say on what you think about them. So, yeah, freedom camping is one of those, which is probably the most controversial one up for consultation at the moment. And they're talking, I think we've mentioned it before, about allowing camping on Stewart Street, down the bottom of Stewart Street, where it's been banned up till now.
Yeah, allowing it for overnight, so not during the day.
Well, people usually camp overnight rather than during the day, but it does mean they've got to be out by 8 o'clock and can't come back until 5.
Yeah. So that the reason for that was chosen, I think that was the community board's idea, and the point of it was to get people camping somewhere near some public toilets for the obvious benefit that they might go and use the public toilets instead of doing it in the bushes, which, or the long grass, or all sorts of things that freedom campers have been accused of over the last decade. People on Stewart Street might have a different opinion about that.
But these are supposed to be self-contained camper vans anyway, so in theory they wouldn't have that problem. In practice, they may well.
Yeah, well, anyway,
it's open for public consultation. So if there are listeners out there who've got their own ideas about this, then, as I say, have a look at the council's consultation. Haven't been into the library recently. They've probably got information there as well.
Yeah, they usually do. I want to add into that discussion the fact that the government has changed the rules, or have they changed it, or are in the process of changing it, where these porta potty things are no longer considered to be a legitimate self-contained vehicle, that has to be a fixed, proper system.
Yep. Yeah. So all this is set out in the consultation document that the council's produced. So, but as I say, the main change is allowing camping on Stewart Street. Rather minor changes are banning it out at the sewage works and at the Wainui Bush Park. The Wainui Bush Park, the boundary they've drawn is rather weird because it doesn't include the grass area. So in theory, a Freedom camper in future could park on the grass area there and say that they were outside the banned area. doesn't seem to me what the council was aiming to achieve, but maybe they didn't look carefully enough at their map, and maybe again that's the problem of having lots of new staff who haven't had time to look at detail of things and somehow came up with a boundary which doesn't make sense to me. But
we are
a minor
going
issue.
Through, yeah, and this is a period of consultation, so hopefully someone will correct it. Probably you, John. Are you making a note?
I've already sent in a submission.
There we go. what else did you want to talk about? The community facilities, I'm bored with the connectivity strategy. You know why? Because it just seems like people say, we should have a bridle path here, and they're like, okay, we'll put it on our list. And then it would probably never happen because, yeah.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's happening before the community meeting on tomorrow is that from noon through to the start of the community board meeting, they're having a drop-in session, as they call it, on both the connectivity strategy and the community facilities strategy. So both of these, they hope there's going to be more information and people who can answer some of the questions.
Where's that, John? I don't know anything about this.
maybe it shows how well it's been publicised. If you have a look at the Say It section of the council's website, it does have these two meetings or drop-in sessions. it seems odd that they don't actually mention it on the community board agenda, that they're having these two sessions immediately before the community board meeting starts.
I'm on the Say It page, John. I've brought it up. Where am I looking?
You're looking at the Freedom Camp... not the Freedom Camping, the connectivity strategy. And
Where's that? it's not there, John. I've got him.
It is somewhere. Maybe you've got to search on the council's website for it, because, again, it's rather odd that it's not...
What should I search
there.
For? Let's do this live on the air. It's
connectivity strategy and community facilities strategy. So those two have, when you finally find them, have got these meetings. I agree. It's quite a few things recently have not been all that well publicised. So a couple of weeks ago, I went along to a stormwater meeting. And the stormwater meeting just had me as a member of the public there. and everybody else that I've talked to since has said, oh, we didn't know it was happening. Because the council doesn't seem very good at actually telling people when they're doing things and what they're doing.
I can't find what you're talking about, so I'm just imagining that you've made it up.
yeah, maybe I need to send you the link.
Yeah, send us the link, because I will talk about that. I mean, I do, if I know about these things, and that last one you mentioned, I did talk about, but unless people are listening to the radio.
Maybe
we
need to put it on our Facebook page as well, because if it's so hard to find, I can't remember how I got hold of it, but I will check.
Okay.
I'll add it. I'll ask for it to be added to our Facebook page, because we've got a new system there as well, so I need to lend my way around that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Get with the technology. Okay, so have we got anything else to talk about, John?
Well, we haven't really explained what connectivity strategy and community facilities strategy are. So community facilities, they're asking how important are things like public toilets, swimming pools, community halls, community hubs, libraries, sports facilities and sports pavilions. So you can say that they're not at all important to you, or they're very important, or various levels in between.
Or something in between. Yeah, one of them is particularly urgent.
And as far as I can make out, this is the council saying, well, do you want to pay more rates for these? Or do you want us to cut back on what we're offering? And it looks as though you found it.
I have. It was in well the, done. It was in the shape.waikato-district.govt.nz website. So 1:30, from 12 to 1:30 in the town hall Wednesday, tomorrow. Yep. Immediately before the community board meeting. Okay, so all the staff and councillors and community board members will be around.
Uh-huh.
All right, and I'll be at that other thing for Raglan, naturally. Okay, we got it. We found it. Well done, us.
Do you want to explain in more detail how you got there?
I went, I can't remember, John. I saw a link. I went from your list. It's on the Raglan 23 website, Communities, Facilities, Strategy, Early Engagement.
Oh, that's right. We don't need to put it on the Facebook page, do we? Because it's already on Raglan 23. So have a look at Raglan 23 and fairly well down that list of things of what's happening at the community board tomorrow is the links to these two consultations.
Yeah. So we'll put it on Facebook anyway. So what else did you want to say about the? Were we just saying it's those things?
So the community facilities one is that thing. Do you want to pay more rates or do you want to have cuts in these various things that we already provide?
Oh, they are doing that, aren't they? Because they get people complaining about rates, and I agree that there's a disconnect out there in the public between paying rates and getting stuff. People moan as a reflex about rates. Not everybody, but a lot of people, and it's like, well, some good things are happening with it. Some useful things are happening.
So this is an early engagement, which means that we're going to have another consultation on it. But this is trying to get some feeling from the community as to whether we do value these things or whether we'd prefer not to have our rates go up to pay for them.
So this first question is, how often do you use community halls? Daily. I'm in it now. How important are community halls to you? Extremely important. I think I'm a little bit of a distortionist, but I'm going to put this stuff in. But actually, no, our community hall is well used. You have to book ahead. You have to make, if you want to run an event, you really need to book months in advance to make sure you get the date you want. And the stuff leading up at the end of the year, November, December, it's particularly hard to book stuff on the weekends because it's probably already booked now. So yeah, our community hall is very important in this community.
Yep, and of course sports facilities is on there, so you're probably going to say those are very important, whereas I said it doesn't matter. So.
Did you, John? I'm going to write that John Lawson is wrong in my comments.
We've all got our various views on what things are important. Lots of people think libraries are a waste of time, but lots of people think they're very important. So there's another one which is probably fairly controversial.
I don't know. Is it controversial?
Well, I think lots of people are saying we've got the internet now, so why have libraries?
Because we're human beings and sometimes we like to meet together. And there's literally a meeting room, which my daughter told me last year when she was doing exams last year. But if she had two on one day, she'd go down to the... And she and some friends would study in that meeting room in the library. I don't remember her doing that, but yeah.
And there are also facilities for getting through to various parts of the internet that otherwise you have to subscribe to. So that's another important thing that the library provides.
Yeah, and there's actually lots of events.
As well as, of course, books.
Yeah, they have books. And there's lots. They actually have a lot of events there, especially during the school holidays. They had a lot of... They had many holiday events for the kids. So,
yep. Well, I think libraries have realised that they need to move on in the internet era and not just be providing books. So, yeah, there's all sorts of things there.
Yeah.
So, as I say, some people feel that they're a waste of money and some people feel that they're very important. So that, whatever view you've got, it's worth looking at this consultation and filling it in, I think.
Yeah,
and the same goes for connectivity strategy, where basically they've revamped their trail strategy that they did in 2016, and they're hinting that maybe the next long-term plan is going to have some funding in it for funding some of the ideas that were put forward in 2016. So the map that they've got this time around is virtually the same as they had 7 years ago.
But the guy at the community board meeting, two meetings back, was saying, hey, if you've got an idea, send it to us, we'll put it on our map. And but John, what do you, let's make this concrete. As someone who does the rambles with the Raglan Ramblers regularly and knows the rural area quite well, where's a really good place for us to put a new walkway?
Well, back in 2015, the council did a study of Pooley's Road, which goes off Wainui Road and heads up to Carrioi.
But it's not a real road. You can't drive on it.
Well, you used to be able to, because there used to be a house up there, so it used to be somebody's house. And
so it's a paper road at this point?
At the moment, it's a paper road, but it used to be a real road.
Yep.
So, yeah. And the council looked at it as an option. Lots of people are grumbling that they don't have anywhere to ride their horses. So it was being looked at as a way of providing for horses and walkers and cyclists to use that area and access the mountain.
And you like it because the paperwork's already done. It's just a matter of putting some fencing in and some kind of pathway.
Yeah. And they've already done the study on it back in 2015, so it's pretty much ready to go in the way of planning.
Okay, so if they did any one thing out here, that would be the thing. And you'd get up, does it take you up to the tree line for the mountain? Okay, and is there a trail on the mountain from there, from that point?
Well, the mountain is now crisscrossed with tracks for the bait lines.
Yeah.
So the bait lines have got, in fact, when we refilled the bait stations a couple of weeks ago, you could actually hear the people on the next bait line talking to each other. They were that close together.
Okay, right. Quite a, not a peaceful mountain then. People everywhere on that day. Yeah, okay, so that's all right. That's a real thing that people might want to do, might want to get behind. It just depends. I don't know. The council, on the other hand, John, the council is tight for money because they're continually having to fix things now because of cyclones and extreme weather events. So yep. I feel like a trail might not make the cut, in all honesty.
It depends how much you're going to spend on it, whether you're just going to put a stile and a signpost there or whether you're going to go in for the full thing. Seems to me that starting off with a stile and a signpost would be a good start.
They would they have to fence either side, though? Or is the farmer happy for you to walk through
their stock? There's already a fence on one side, so it's a matter of putting a fence on the other.
Okay, so there would probably have to be a fence put in. Although then someone has to mow it, so it might be better not to have the fence, let the stock in. I don't know. Yeah. I don't have answers to these questions. Maybe people out there care.
In most cases, on the Wainui Reserve, you walk through areas that have got cattle in them, so I don't see that it actually needs a fence.
It's not a biggie.
It seems to work fine on Wainui Reserve.
Okay, well look, we've reached 10 o'clock. Folks have been talking to John Lawson about the community board agenda and a few extra things. The community board meeting is tomorrow, Wednesday at 1:30, and we've just found the date and time for the drop-in session for the district community facilities strategy, which is from midday to 1:30, so right before the community board meeting in the same room. You can go and check out what they're suggesting, or in fact, they're not suggesting much. This is pre-engagement, so they just want to hear what people have to say.
Yep.
Yeah.
It seems to me worthwhile actually having your say if you're at all interested in these things.
Yeah.
One of the things we've not mentioned so far is the Waters Governance Board is meeting today, and on their agenda they've got something about the sewage works upgrade. Saying the tender is underway with returns due in August. So that was news to me.
Tender for what?
Presumably rebuilding the sewage works.
So that's not to do with the land-based treatment?
At the last video that Chris and myself and Peter were on, the discussion was about having a short-term resource consent for it and just upgrading the sewage works so that what comes out of the pipe into the harbour will be that much cleaner, and then in the longer term going for a land-based system.
Okay, because that still has to be treated. It's not like they're putting raw stuff on the land.
Well, yeah, it'd be this upgraded sewage works that they were talking about first in 2018, and now they're adding an extra membrane on to actually take the particulates out of the sewage.
Yeah, so they've put one in another part of the district, and I know they do want to put one here, some fancy machine. Anyway, thank you for coming in, John.
Well, thank you.
And
your sun's come out.
Sort of. You're on the air tonight at 6, are you?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Well, folks want more details from John, they can get it at 6, and we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you.
All right, that's the end of the show. We've gone over time again. Sorry. We'll see you again tomorrow.